This is Tom Scott, the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, November 13th, 2024. We begin our reading on the front page above the fold, Piper City Rehab and Living Center. Piper City Nursing Home reportedly shutting down. Village president on impending closure of local 60-bed facility. It's a loss for sure. Piper City. Piper City Rehab and Living Center, a 60-bed long-term facility that for 52 years has called Piper City home, is reportedly shutting down, although exactly when remains unclear. They say January 1st, but I think there will be a winding down period first, Village President Jeff Orr said after visiting the nursing home this week and speaking with a staff member there about the situation. The nursing home, Piper City's largest employer and a fixture in the North Central Ford County community of 745 since 1972, had been owned and operated since 2011 by Peoria-based Peterson Healthcare, but was sold in August along with its other nursing homes through a bankruptcy auction, according to Greg Wilson, Senior Vice President of Operations for Peterson Healthcare. The current owner is Cascade Capital Group, and the current operator is Arcadia, Wilson said in an email Saturday, noting that Peterson Healthcare transferred all of its ownership and operations effective at midnight, October 31st. Subsequent emails and phone calls to Skokie-based Cascade Capital Group and Arcadia Care, which operates nursing homes in Bloomington, Danville, and Morris, among other Illinois cities, were not immediately returned. Meanwhile, a staff member who answered the phone at Monday at Piper City Rehab and Living Center said only that, "We have no comment at this time," before abruptly hanging up. A spokesman for the Illinois Department of Public Health was not willing to answer questions on the situation Tuesday, including whether the IDPH had received notification of the nursing home's impending closure, and suggested that the Chronicle file a Freedom of Information Act request, which it immediately did. After reports began circulating that the nursing home at 600 South Maple Street would be closing, Orr informed Village board members of the news during their monthly meeting last Wednesday night. "I told them that we'd received word that the employees had been told that the nursing home had been sold and that they were closing this facility. That's about all I know," Orr said. After speaking with a staff member who did not wish to be named, Orr said Tuesday it was his understanding that residents and staff were being offered the chance to relocate to another Arcadia nursing home in Watseka. She said the company, Arcadia, "They're being good to the employees," Orr said. She said there are people who are being given jobs at the Watseka facility, and if they don't have a place for them in Watseka, or if those people don't want to go to Watseka, she said they're getting assistance in securing other employment. "And they're working with the residents' families to get everyone situated. What will happen with the Piper City building remains unclear," Orr said. The staff don't know anything about the future plans for the facility, Orr said. There were rumors. They said it was going to be demolished, but this staff member told me, she said, "No, they have not said anything like that." Orr said he was told that the adjacent Courtyard Estates independent living apartment building also was acquired by the Cascade Capital Group in the bankruptcy auction, but would be managed by a different part of the company as part of the change. There would be no more meals provided to the apartment building's residents, relaying what he was told by staff. "I think they just have a couple of renters in there right now, is what I'm told," Orr said. Staff member Sharon Weller Mogan shared the news of the impending closure on Saturday in the Piper City Community News Facebook group, saying the staff and residents have very heavy hearts and are all devastated. "PC Rehab has been my and most staff's home away from home for many years," said Moog's Facebook post. "This is a very emotional time for us and will continue to be in the next several weeks. I know we will be okay, but we are family, and this is hard, really hard, to say goodbye to our work family and our much-loved residents. or called the impending closing of the nursing home a great loss to our community. "We are all thinking of the residents and their families in this time of transition," Orr said. "We are also thinking of the employees who are saying goodbye to the residents who have been in their care and who are mourning the breakup of their work family." "It's a loss for sure," Orr continued. "Maybe it won't be permanent. Maybe they'll do something with the facility at some point. We, as a village board, would try to be supportive of whatever they do. Of course, it's a private corporation, and they have to do what makes sense business-wise." Orr said he was not sure exactly how many people work at the nursing home, but he said the total made it the town's biggest employer, ahead of ATS Acoustics, which at one point had 50 employees. Orr said, "A significant number of jobs will be lost, including those of some people who live in Piper City." Closure could also have a trickle-down effect in other sectors of the town's economy, Orr noted. "If staff members are relocated to Watseka, could affect our housing or rental market," Orr said. "In our small gas station and coffee shop and things like that, where people pick up their lunch sometimes, will be affected. And even our water department. They're a very significant user of water down there at Piper City Rehab. They're doing laundry all the time. So it affects a lot of things." Depending on what happens with the nursing home's building, the village's property tax revenue could even go down. For last year, the nursing home's total real estate taxes totaled $37,564, of which $4,665 went to the village, according to Ford County Treasurer Tricia Whitcomb. The nursing home has been operating in the community since December 1972, after Piper City community members organized Greenbrier Lodge Incorporated and built the facility to provide employment and services. Originally known as Greenbrier Lodge, the nursing home remained under local shareholders' ownership until it was sold in 2011 to Peterson Healthcare. Its name was changed to Piper City Rehab and Living Center following the sale. Prior to the sale, Greenbrier Lodge Incorporated built an independent living apartment building adjacent to the nursing home in 1999, known originally as Greenbrier Trace and later as Courtyard Estates. Orr, who served on the nursing home's board of directors and as its president at one point while it was owned by the Greenbrier Lodge Incorporated, said the decision was made to sell because of various difficulties. "At first, it was going great, but the industry was changing," Orr said. "It just was not working, and we would have not been able to keep going." Orr said the efforts of the community to establish the nursing home and keep it running for so long are appreciated to this day. "We salute the original shareholders whose leadership created the facility and the employees who, for all these years, have made the facility an asset to our community." On the front page, we have an article about the upcoming April 1st consolidated election. Ingold going for sixth term as Paxton's mayor. Filing period continues through Monday, November 18th for the April 1st consolidated election. Paxton. With the sun peeking through the clouds on a calm Wednesday morning in downtown Paxton, the city's longtime mayor, Bill Ingold, walked along the newly repaved sidewalk with a mail folder in one hand and a pen in the other, busy collecting signatures from Paxton's registered voters to support his candidacy in next April's election for a sixth straight four-year term. Like other candidates for elected office across the area, Ingold was busy circulating his election petition ahead of the filing period for the April 1st consolidated election, which began Tuesday, November 12th and runs through 5 p.m. Monday, November 18th, when petitions are due. For almost 20 years as mayor of the Ford County seat, the 75-year-old Ingold thought that finally ending his run, began in 2005 when he replaced Jim Kingston, but ultimately opted for a sixth term. If he wins re-election, it would set up the possibility for Ingold, if he is up for it, to run again in 2029 to match his late predecessor as the city's longest-serving mayor ever at 28 years. Ingold has actually been serving the city much longer, though, Starting as an alderman in August 1990, a role he continued before winning his first term as mayor in a three-way race 19 years ago. That also featured two of his one-time colleagues on the city council, Tom McQuinn and Dan Bepler, and was the last time Ingold was challenged. So far, no opponents have emerged for this next go-round either. If re-elected, Ingold hopes to see through a number of prospects for growth in Paxton, which he has called home his entire life. Among them, a sprawling three-phase residential and commercial development by Interstate 57 that could be a boon to the town of 4,450. Do we want it to happen? You bet, Ingold said last month following a presentation to the city council on the development. This is what we want as a city, and this is what we need as a city. On Thursday, Ingold said he just got done talking on the phone with the city's development consultant, Freddie Beth Schmoody, about the hopeful availability of federal and state grants to fund a second phase of the downtown streetscape improvement project, which would include new sidewalks and light poles downtown in the 200 blocks of North and South Market Street. With other developments in the work as well, it is a lot of work, being Mayor Ingold acknowledged, but I enjoy it. This is what I like doing, Ingold said. There are a lot of irons in the fire and things going on, and I'd like to at least get a good start on some of them. Ingold said he planned to file his election paperwork at City Hall bright and early on the opening of the filing period. Going for another term as mayor, Ingold said, was decided only after quite a bit of discussion with his wife of 54 years, Lynn. He said he initially had concerns about the time commitment, but she convinced him it would be worth it. She said, "No, I want you to do it," Ingold said. She said, "I want you to go ahead and do this." And I said, "Fine, it's all doable. We're all good with it." The community-minded Ingold, who also at one time served as president of the Paxton Community Hospital Board, retired in the summer of 2016 from a lengthy career in farm equipment sales and service. His career began mostly on the service side at Paxton Farm Equipment, new home of Plastic Designs Incorporated, before transitioning into a sales role at Aaron's Brothers in Melbourne in 1986, after Paxton Farm Equipment closed. He was at Aaron's Brothers until 1999, when he moved to his final landing spot, Aaron's and Sons in Gibson City. Ingold was born at Paxton Community Hospital and grew up in College Street before graduating in 1967 from Paxton High School. As a senior in high school, Ingold met his future wife, who was a year younger, and moved to Paxton from Pontiac in seventh grade, as they were Dragon Main downtown. They celebrated 54 years of marriage in October and have lived at the same Vermilion Street home for 53 of those years. "I'm not too much on change," Ingold said. Also planning to seek re-election are Gibson City Mayor Dan Dickey, who will be vying for a sixth consecutive four-year term, along with Piper Village President Jeff Orr, Sibley Village President Jim Kearney, and longtime Rankin Village President Aaron Warren. Roberts Village President Matt Vaughn and Elliott Village President Josh Rowley were both undecided as of last month, although Vaughn said he was leaning toward running again. In Loda, Village President Carol Arsenault has said she is not seeking another term. Meanwhile, former Loda trustee John Zalliker said he is running for president. Back on the front page, another article from the November 5th general election in Ford and Iroquois counties. Rump easily wins area. As expected, voters in Ford and Iroquois counties support GOP candidates by a wide margin. President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance garnered 73.04% of the vote in Ford County and 77.88% in Iroquois County in the November 5th general election, with Democratic candidates Kamala Harris and Tim Walz receiving only 25.07% in Ford County and 20.61% in Iroquois County. Republicans had a terrific night across the county and are poised to hold a trifecta. The Ford County Republican Central Committee's former chairman, Chase McCall of Gibson City, said Wednesday. The economy was top of mind for many, according to exit polls, and the American people have once again entrusted our party to ease the frustration seen in their wallets for the past 4 years. In Ford County, the most lopsided support for Trump Vance came in the precinct of Button, where 86.82% voted for the GOP candidates, compared with 11.63% for the Democrats. The least support for Trump Vance came in Rogers, where 63.76% voted for Trump and Vance, compared to 34.4% for Harris and Waltz. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy and running mate Nicole Shanahan received 124 votes in Ford County. Unopposed, following a victory in the March 19th primary over three other Republican candidates, Chris Balkema of Chanahan won election on November 5th to a two-year term as the Illinois 53rd Senate District's next senator. Balkema, the Grundy County Board's chairman, will succeed retiring Tom Bennett, Republican of Gibson City, in January. Bennett was appointed by a special election to a two-year term as a 53rd District Senator in January 2023, following the retirement of then-State Senator Jason Barrington, Republican of Bloomington, after previously having served as a 106th District State Representative in the Illinois House from 2015 to 2023. Balkema, who has worked for 30 years in purchasing for Caterpillar, received 5,264 votes in Ford County and 11,671 in Iroquois County. His 13-county state Senate district also includes parts of McLean, Livingston, Woodford, Peoria, Marshall, Bureau, LaSalle, Grundy, Will, Putnam, and Tazewell counties. During a Meet the Candidates event in Paxton last spring, Balkema said he fully intends to go back to Springfield and push back against the state's open immigration stance and will fight to uphold the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding gun owners and work to reduce taxes. State Representative Jason Bunting, Republican of Emmington, was unopposed for re-election in the primary again and again in the general election on November 5th. Bunting replaced Bennett in the Senate in the House in January 2023 in one election to another two-year term representing the 106th District, receiving 11,703 votes in Iroquois County and 5,277 in Ford County. The reason why I'm running now, and the reason I ran 13 months ago, is I'm a farmer, a small business owner, and a father of three young children, so I can either moan, complain, and carry on about what takes place in Springfield, or I can go down there and try to make a difference, Bunning said during last spring's Meet the Candidates event in Paxton. I've enjoyed every bit of it. Thank you for the opportunity. December 1st, Cassie Schwartz will leave her job as paralegal victim witness coordinator for the Ford County State's Attorney's Office to begin overseeing the operation of the Ford County Circuit Clerk's Office. Schwartz of Roberts was unopposed in the November 5th general election, winning a four-year term as the county's next circuit clerk with 5,724 votes. In last spring's Republican primary, Schwartz defeated Alicia Weber of Paxton. Schwartz will replace Kamalyn Johnson Anderson, who did not seek re-election after served as circuit clerk since 2020 and from 1993 to 2008. Schwartz previously ran unsuccessfully for county treasurer in the March 2018 primary when she was defeated by Krisha Whitcomb of Paxton. Schwartz has been employed as a paralegal in the state's attorney's office since 2014 and previously worked as a Ford County probation officer after starting her career with the county as a part-time secretary for the probation department in 2008. After winning election on November 5th and her unopposed bid for re-election to a Ford County term as circuit court clerk was incumbent Lisa Hines of Cisna Park. We'll now take a break from election news and turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, November 13th. Norma Jean Boyer, Fort Myers, Florida. Norma Jean Boyer, 91, of Fort Myers, Florida, formerly of Crete, Homewood, and Buckley, died peacefully on Monday, October 14th at Hope Hospice in Bonita Springs, Florida. A memorial service will be at noon, Saturday, November 16th, at St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, with a committal service to follow at St. John's Lutheran Cemetery in rural Buckley. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon, Saturday, November 16th, at the church. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church. Harold W. Forbes, Melbourne. Harold W. Forbes, 77, of Melbourne, died at 11:35 p.m. Friday, November 8th, at the Illinois Veterans Home in Mantino. The memorial service will be at 1 p.m. Sunday, November 17th, at the United Methodist Church in Melbourne, with the Reverend Elizabeth Race officiating. Private family burial will be at a later date at the Melbourne Cemetery with military honors. Memorials may be made to the Melbourne United Methodist Church or the Roberts Melbourne Fire Department. Larry Lutz, Fisher. Larry Lutz, 85, of Fisher, died at 5:38 p.m. Tuesday, November 5th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were at 2 p.m. Sunday, November 10th, at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Austin, with the Reverend Jeffrey McBike officiating. Burial followed in Willowbrook Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Austin. Dale L. McPherson, Elliott. Dale L. McPherson, 71, of Elliott, died at 1:58 p.m. Monday, November 4th, at the Goldwater Care Nursing Home in Gibson City. Funeral services were held Tuesday, November 12th, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with the Reverend Kenny Chembley officiating. Funeral contributions may be made to the Elliott Fire Department. Lois J. Rapp, Loda. Lois J. Rapp, 87, of Loda, died peacefully at 7:15 a.m. Thursday, October 24th, at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. A celebration of life service will be at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, November 16th, at Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 11:30 Saturday, November 16th, at the funeral home. Private family burial will be held at the Melbourne Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made to the Roberts Melbourne Fire Department. Charles Swanson, Paxton. Charles William Swanson, 90, of Paxton, died at 7:20 p.m. Wednesday, November 6th, at the Accolade on Pell's Nursing Home in Paxton. Funeral services were held Tuesday, November 12th, at the Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton, officiated by the Reverend Pat Allen. Memorials may be made to the First United Methodist Church of Paxton. Alice Watson, Paxton. Alice Jean Dunlap Watson, 76, of Paxton, died at 6:32 a.m. Tuesday, November 5th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A mass of Christian burial was held at 11:30 a.m. Friday, November 8th, at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Paxton, with Father Nestor Sanchez officiating. Burial followed in Ludlow Township Cemetery in rural Ludlow. Memorials may be made to St. Mary Catholic Church in Paxton. We return to the election results for the Ford County Board. Winning election in unopposed bids for 4-year terms on the Ford County Board on November 5th were incumbent Tom McQuinn of rural Paxton and newcomer Kelsey Vaughn of Paxton in District 1, incumbent Cindy Erkey of rural Roberts, and newcomer Greg Nywald of rural Loda in District 2, and incumbent Sarah Musman and newcomer Garrett Kerber in District 3. In last spring's primary, McQuinn and Vaughn claimed victory in a four-way race for two available District 1 seats, defeating the board's chairman, Debbie Smith, and newcomer Dominic Brackenhoff, both of Paxton. Vaughn, victorious in her first bid for elected office, is employed at Paxton Family Dental and previously served on the Paxton Community Nursery School Board from 2011 to 2018, including as its secretary and president. McQuinn, who has served on the county board since 2008, and is currently also chairman of the Ford County Public Building Commission, previously served on the Paxton City Council from 1997 to 2007. He is retired following a 20-plus year career as general manager of Paxton Printing Incorporated. Erkey, a rural Roberts resident, first elected to the county board in 2018 and its vice chairman since 2020, and Newald, a lifelong Wall Township farmer running for elected office for the first time, prevailed in the primary over incumbent Ann Erkey of rural Buckley in a tight three-way race. "This is home," Newald said last spring. "It's been home for 41 years. It will be home for a very, very long time, probably until I'm buried in Paxton's Glen Cemetery." The newly elected Ford County Board members' vote totals on November 5th were Vaughn, 1,606, Musman, 1,587, Kerber, 1,564, Nywald, 1,507, McQuinn, 1,279, and Erkey, with 1,198. Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian, who was unopposed for re-election to a four-year term in last spring's primary, once again faced no opposition on November 5th, taking 100% of the 5,715 votes. In Iroquois County, Michael Quinlan of Bourbonnais also was unopposed, winning election with all 11,517 votes. In the primary, Quinlan easily defeated Rebecca Suling of Watseka in the race to replace longtime state's attorney Jim Devine of Watseka, who did not seek re-election. Quinlan, a prosecutor since 1995, is currently an assistant in the state's attorney in Iroquois County. Both incumbent coroners were also re-elected in Ford and Iroquois counties, with neither challenged. In Iroquois County, longtime coroner Bill Cheatham of rural Milford won re-election to a four-year term with 11,714 votes, and in Ford County, Brandon Roderick of Gibson City won a second four-year term with 5,807 votes. Both are Republicans. Also winning election in Iroquois County on November 5th were the following Republican candidates for county board: incumbents Gerald Jed Whitlow of Gilman and newcomer Jody Munsterman of rural Narva in District 2, incumbents Lyle Behrens of rural Ashcombe and Chad McGinnis of rural Chevenix in District 1, incumbent Raymond Williams of rural Hoopston and newcomer Jamie Lee Bacon of Sheldon in District 3, and incumbent Scott Watts of rural Watseka and newcomer Roger Bard of Watseka in District 4. Also elected and unopposed was Kathleen Perkinson for an unexpired two-year term in District 2. She will fill the remaining term of District 2 County Board member Barbara Offhill, who died last January. Not seeking re-election was District 3 County Board member Paul Bowers of rural Milford. District 2's John Shure of rural Buckley, the board's chairman, was defeated in the primary, as was District 4 Board member John Zumwalt of Sheldon. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.